I would like to wish each one of you a happy Sabbath. To those of you who are with us online, greetings. And I pray that this will draw us closer to the Lord and to one another. You know, technology is a great thing, isn't it? It allows us to do exactly what we're doing right now, to be able to come and share the message of God. But I ask a question to you this morning. Do you ever feel like the world is shifting and swirling so fast that it is different from one day to the next? Just let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of coming together, and as we share your word, may it be your word. May the thoughts be directly from you. May it draw us closer to you and to one another. May you be seen, and may you be honored. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it is simply a fact that we live in an age when everything seems to be changing before our eyes. In fact, technology develops so quickly that if I listed devices that represent the new technology today, and I were to write them down and put them in a book, probably before the book is printed, they would be outdated. Not only, though, have we seen technologies change quickly, but we have also seen politics and political parties, national and international boundaries, and currencies change. And the list goes on and on. And in the midst of this climate of sweeping changes that the world is caught up in, scores of people have been swept into a seismic shift in core biblical values and morals, even concerning the most basic tenets of faith. And these changes are occurring at an alarming rate. But we should not be surprised by it, because the Holy Spirit warned us some 2,000 years in advance that this would occur in the very last part of the last days. Perhaps the shock we feel is that so many are abandoning former positions of faith to embrace new ones at what seems to be such lightning speed. And in the midst of this ever-changing environment, it is good to remember, that there is one thing that never changes, and that is Jesus Christ. That's the thing that we can cling on to. That's what we can hold on to, that Jesus never changed. And that's why in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, we are told, is the same yesterday and today and forever. So looking at that, I begin to wonder, as I look at Scripture, I begin to wonder, and this morning I'm going to wonder out loud. And I want to share with you some things. As I said, technology is a great thing. But if we are not careful, technology is going to be our downfall. And we can see it all around us now, the effects that it has on us. And it's not only because of the pandemic either. We use that largely as a huge excuse. And there are some legitimacies in it that we need to be very careful. But, I mean, I've heard it said many, many times for years, you don't have to go to church. You don't have to go to church. Yet, when I look at Scripture, especially in Exodus 25, verse 8, the Lord said to Moses, he said, go and tell the Israelites, the church of the day, to build me a sanctuary, to build a tabernacle so that he can tabernacle with them, so that they could be together and that they could come together and worship. So I wonder, have God changed or have we changed? What is it? And then, of course, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:31 that whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. And I wonder out loud, what did God call us into being for? What's the purpose of a church? What was the purpose of the nation of Israel? It was to show God's glory, to draw people in. And if you and I are going to be continuing doing what we're doing right now, just focusing on online every Sabbath and then go about doing nothing, are we doing what God has called us to do? You know, for anybody that is into any kind of sports or just watches it or listens to it, you know, during, especially in the NHL, during trade time, the media refers to armchair general managers. And right now, the playoffs for the Super Bowl is going on. So there are armchair coaches. My fear, and I wonder if this has happened, and it's not just because of this pandemic, but because of the technology that we have allowed to overtake us, have we become armchair Christians? Now, what do I mean by that? Are we satisfied with just coming together on Sabbath for 2 hours in the comforts of our own home with nobody other than maybe a spouse or a son or a daughter? And then once noon comes, it's over. What do we do? How? I wonder how. How do we share if we're going to continue doing that? I've had people tell me that they're more comfortable being at church online because sometimes they go to church and the church is cold, it's uninviting, and they're filled more with what they see and hear online. I wonder who has the problem. Is it the one that decides that they're not coming, when again the Bible tells us, do not forsake the assembling together of yourselves, as some of you have already done? Let's be careful, because if there is someone that you are uncomfortable with in the church, the Bible gives us specific guidelines of how we are supposed to handle that. If you know your brother has something against you, go to them. And if we are going to continue with our online approach 100% to church services, we will not have a need to do that because we are not intimate. When God created Adam and Eve, He created them with the purpose of being together, with the purpose of Him coming and fellowshipping with His creation. And that's why He looks so fondly and so lovingly on the church. Oh, He says, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And then in today's world, right now, as we live, and we know that the Bible tells us in Romans, especially in chapter 13, that we are to follow the laws of the land. It says, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. But you know what it also says? Give unto God what is God's. If you go back to the time of Daniel and look at those four Hebrew young men, and we will just go in on the three of them right now, when they were ordered to bow. Did they? Should they? What does the Bible say? Don't do it. I wonder. Because of the society that we live in today, has God lessened that for us? God wants 10% of me, right? No, it's not right. It's the same thing as getting married. You know, and you'll still hear it some today. Marriage is 50-50. That's not so. Marriage is 100% or nothing. Relationship with God is 100% or nothing. You can't serve both. Now, we need to live in the society that we live in as peaceful as we possibly can. But there is coming a time, and I do not believe that is very far away right now. There is coming a time that we're going to say, and we're going to have to say, no, this is interfering with what God has asked me to do and my worship to Him. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, we're right on the crest. We are right on the crest. We need to decide whose side we are on. Is it the side of God? Or is it my side? Most of us right now, it appears, are on my side. If you are, come to the throne of grace. Ask the Lord through His Holy Spirit to convict us of the way that we should go. But let Him convict us. Not us try to convict and convince Him the way that we should go. It's a problem. It's a problem. We study God's Word, or we say we study God's Word, but most of the time, we'll tell the Word what it says instead of allowing the Word to tell us what it is saying to us. You know, I received a phone call this morning that one of our members in Lethbridge had passed away. Passed away at 5 o'clock. 5:05, actually. And it's a sad time. It's a difficult time. It's a difficult time for the family. It's a difficult time for Nancy. And we cannot and we should not dare to stop the grieving and the mourning process, because that is healthy. We need to grieve and to mourn. And why do you think? Why do you think when Jesus went to visit Mary and Martha 4 days after Lazarus had died, that he was going to the tomb and he knew that he was going to raise him? Jesus wept. Because death is hurtful. Sleep longer than overnight is hurtful. But the Bible tells us, Titus 2:13 tells us that, and this I believe is what Nancy is doing and the rest of the family today, because they are believers and they believe in the blessed hope that the Lord is going to come soon and is going to call Tom and all the others that have gone before him, and the ones that will go after until the Lord comes. That's the blessed hope. That's the hope that we need to cling to. That's the hope that we are certain of if we have that relationship with God. But, brothers, sisters, there are so many that are fearful. I ask the question, fearful of what? And then when you answer that, ask the other question, why? Because the Bible is very clear. It's very clear that those things are going to happen. We are in the last days. You know, a seven-day Adventist, we most of us can quote pretty much all of Matthew 24. Do we believe it? Do we believe it? Listen, I believe it with all my heart. And the reason why I believe it because I believe that this is the Word of God, and everything in it, I believe that He said. And He says, what in John 17:17? Your word is truth. Sanctify them by your truth. I believe that. Do I like what's happening? No. I definitely do not. Am I fearful? I am fearful for those who do not have a relationship with God. I do not want to see anybody sick. It hurts. It hurts. I don't want to see anybody die. But the good book tells us that is going to happen. But tells us not to fear. Not to fear because of your relationship with me, I am going to come. I am going to shout, and you are going to be raised up. What do we have to fear? You know, I wonder, if Jesus were to come today, right now, If you or I, would have to change anything. Now, we know that the price has already been paid. We know that. The price of eternal death has already been paid because Jesus took that on himself for you and I. But would we have to change anything that gets in the way of our relationship with Jesus? Would we have to change how we are reaching out to people? If he were to come today, would we have to change that right now before he gets here? I wonder. If Jesus were to come today, would we have to change the station that's on the TV right now? I wonder if he were to come today, would I have to change the music that I listen to? I wonder if Jesus were to come today, would I have to change how I eat and what I eat? I wonder if he were to come today, would I have to change how much time I've spent with him? But, if we are spending that time with him every day, if we are listening to that soft whispering voice, we won't wander. We will not wander. But we will be asking, God, what would you have me to do differently? Brothers and sisters, think about your neighbor. Think about your family, your friends. Think about the community next door. Think about your brother and sister that comes to church. And then say, God, what can I do? What can I do? What could you use me at today to further your kingdom, to put a little more joy, a little more hope into the life of some other person? Here's the challenge for each one of us. And I probably 100% of us who take the name of Christ, who take the name of Christians, believe. That he died for each one of us. I believe that with all of my heart. But I can assure you, as I'm standing here this morning, that I do not do and act every minute of the day like I should. That is because I've taken my focus off him and I placed it on me. When you and I, our focus need to be on him 100%. And if it's on him 100%, I can assure you of this. Your focus then will be on each one. You know, we should wake up in the morning refreshed and thank God for waking us, for giving us a good night's sleep and rest. and to thank Him for the opportunity of spending some personal time with Him this morning. And then after we do that and we have our chores taken care of at home, we should say, okay, God, here are my plans for today. Here are my thoughts. Here's where I'm going to go. Here's what I'm going to do. But Lord, not my will, Your will be done. And Father, if this is of You here, and there is somebody that needs to be encouraged, that needs to be enlightened during the day, lead me to them or them to me, and guess what will happen? You see, the only thing that you and I have to offer God is our willingness. Remember the text, Lord, I believe. Forgive my unbelief. Well, it's similar to that. Lord, I'm willing, but increase my willingness. You see, God wants our everything because He gave His everything for you and I. I'm not saying this morning not to attend a service on Zoom or YouTube. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm going to tell you something. That Zoom and YouTube, if that's all we're doing, is not ministry. Ministry is a personal thing. Ministry is reaching out and sharing Jesus Christ. Now, you don't have to mention Jesus, but they will see Him because of your love for them. We are in the last days. We are in the last days. I believe that. And I know there are some skeptics listening saying we've been in the last days for a long time. And yes, that is true. And I do not know how much longer the last days are going to last. But I do know this, that we are in the last days. And I take a look at what the Bible tells us, and I look at what's going on around us and around the world, and I've come to the conclusion that time is short. It's unraveling. And you know what I say? Praise God. Praise God. Take it one day at a time. Like the song says, one day at a time, sweet Jesus. And that's where you and I need to get if we are not there. Also in that song, it says that if you take a look when you are on the earth, I'm paraphrasing now. Things were bad, but if you take a look, it's a lot worse now. Can it get any worse? Yes. Will it get any worse? Yes. But I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters, is not going to be the way that we think is going to get worse. For us good Adventists, and for those who believe in the second coming, and for those that worship on Sabbath, we always believe that what was going to usher in the time of trouble was a Sunday law. Take a look around you. Maybe it's going to be a health law. I don't know. I don't know. But I wonder, are we ready? Are we ready? Would you and I have to change anything, anything, if Jesus were to come today? Because if we do have to change anything, it would be better for him not to come in order for me to be saved. So I say this to you and I say this to me. Give it to God. Don't say, oh, it's such a little thing. God understands. Listen, the Bible says that Jesus is exactly the same in the past, in the present, and in the future. What he said we should do back, let's refer to it as Old Testament times. Most of it we should be doing today. The only thing that has changed is what has been taken care of, and it was his sacrifice. He's the same today as he was yesterday. And he'll be the same in the future. Nothing changes. Nothing changes. Nothing changes. And I don't know about you. I don't know about you. But I am so thankful that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and for all future ages. I'm so thankful for that. And with all the sweeping changes happening in the world right now, I thank God that Jesus isn't one of them. Whoever he was in the past is who he is in the present and who he will be forever. So in light of this wonderful truth, I want to suggest to you to dig deeper into his word. Dig deeper into his word. And the Jesus that you find will be the same forever. What Jesus said and did, especially in the four Gospels, but what he did and said in the Bible is exactly what he is saying and doing now. So if you come to know the Jesus of the Gospel, you will come to know the Jesus of today. Because he is exactly, identically, and precisely the same. Anything that have changed over the course of time that is contrary to the word is not because Jesus changed it. It's because we did. You want a sure thing? Here it is. Spend the time with him every day, seeking his truth, because the truth will set you free in this ever-changing environment that we live in. Let's pray. Father, in the midst of this ever-changing world environment, I am so thankful that Jesus Christ never changes. He was in the past exactly who he is in the present and precisely who he will be forever. Lord, I am in awe of your unchanging love and your unending mercy. In a society that is morally, politically, and economically shifting, I boldly proclaim on Christ, the solid rock, I take my firm stand. Truly, all other ground is sinking sand. Help me, Holy Spirit, to stand strong for you. No matter who around me may abandon their position of faith. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless each and every one of you.